Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Welcome everyone to our episode today. I have special guests Selma and Susan with me. They are the powerhouse behind Dhiram Stretcher, which is also doing a lot of other things, which we'll just go into shortly. I know them from when Dhiram Stretcher used to be a Facebook community, and then we've come into contact in different capacities as years have gone by, and I'm super excited to have this chat today. So welcome and thank you for being here.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, we're still a Facebook community.
Of course you are. What I meant was
that we are.
What I meant was that was the only thing you were doing back when we met in 2018, from what I remember. But how did it all start? Maybe you can tell me your story of when things got added, when you were a community. I would like to know as much as our listeners would.
It all started with Facebook. Dhiram Stretcher was a small community group. It was actually founded by my friend, not me.
Yes.
And it was meant as a way to exchange deals and offers, whatever we'd see at the supermarket, recipes, anything that could help stretch the dirham. And then she moved away to Germany and she left me the group, and I tried to keep it up, but it wasn't easy. So one day I posted a shout out, like I shouted for help, and I asked if anybody could help me, and that's when Susan got in touch. And that was 2019. So I made her a co-moderator, and it took us another month, I think, or two to meet up. And and she came with a lot of good energy and new ideas.
Enthusiasm,
yeah.
But oh, lovely.
Mainly ideas. And that's what really kick-started the project, because to be honest, if she hadn't been there, I think we would still be only a small Facebook group. Or maybe a larger Facebook group, but not what we are today.
So maybe I did meet you guys in 2019, not in 2018. And I was newly added to the group, and I was like, oh my god, this exists, and it just makes things so much easier in terms of finding stuff in one place. Otherwise, there's no consolidated resource that I had come across, maybe even till now. So that was the main attraction, and I was an active reader of the group, if not a contributor. So it was cool to meet you guys in person after that. And also to mention that between both of you, you have 6 kids. So for anyone who thinks that time management is harder, or time management does not matter, whatever you have, whatever ideas you might have around time management and work, these two women are here to inspire us through that as well. So back to the story, you were both members of the group first, which is very interesting, and then you kind of grew to manage it. Tell us a little bit about what it's like to manage a community, because you see so many businesses adding a community factor as an extra sales pitch, but then I think personally it's a lot of work.
It is, and to be honest, I don't think you should start with the business. You should start with the community. It's the other way around. When you have a community, you can turn it into a business, but you can't grow a community out of a business. It feels very fake.
So the first few months must have been constant answering posts, moderating posts, a lot of that. First few years, maybe, not months.
Yeah, it still is.
It still is, yes.
But we worked very hard on getting the engagement up, so we were interacting a lot, answering every single post, and motivating people to contribute, like constructively.
Yes.
So that was a lot of work. I remember Googling the answers, looking them up wherever I could when people had questions, just to show them that Dhiram Stretcher was the place where they would actually find answers to their questions. It's gotten much easier now that there are so many people on the group. We are 90,000.
Yeah.
So most questions are answered by the group members. Some of them are very supportive. Most of the time they give good answers. Whenever I see something that I don't agree with, or when I see that someone didn't get the answer that they were looking for, I jump in and I reply myself.
Yeah.
But not systematically.
I've also noticed both of you are very patient on the group. Does it take... is there a strategy that
walk away. There's a strategy. Go walk away and breathe for a little while and then come back to it.
So let's talk a little bit about how you grew from this community as the basis of everything. And what all you do now?
We have so many now. I'm losing count. Like someone was saying, growing the community was very much about the engagement. It was about gaining people's trust and about having conversations with people and like getting known in the community. So we were still are extremely active on there, and we try and answer as many questions as we can and help people. So we want that to feel like a safe space for people. So whatever question you might have, we do really try and help. But I think we started looking for codes at the very beginning. That was something that we could easily do, and it definitely helped people very quickly. So if you find a discount code, you can straight away put it in, and it was easy to be able to start growing that.
And it was quite new at that time.
Correct. Yeah. It was very new because there wasn't a lot of e-commerce stores in the UAE at that stage. So a lot of the websites now, the e-commerce websites, they weren't around before 2018.
Yeah.
So as they were coming up with discount codes, which we were getting at the same time. So...
And just one thing to note, we started with codes that we wanted to use ourselves.
Oh, we still do.
Yeah, we still do. I know, but that was our priority. We were not getting codes because the businesses were asking us to.
Correct.
Promoting them because they asked us to. We were mainly users ourselves. These were things that we wanted to buy for ourselves, for our families, groceries, clothes, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why we asked for a code.
So helpful till now. I think I've written a couple of messages to you somewhere. Anything I want to buy, I've got into a habit of first checking if you have a code, and 75-80% of the time there tends to be a code. And I was telling Selma earlier as well, a lot of times saving money is seen or comes across with a lot of pressure. You hear, at least around me, I hear a lot of people in that same chatter of I don't have enough, I want to stretch money. Saving money just comes with that pressure, with that energy, which is bordering on the negative. Whereas Dirham Stretcher has made it into such a positive conversation, even on the group, like you said, trust is a big factor, and that really comes across. So kudos to that. And you guys were talking about codes. Was it really difficult approaching brands in the beginning when you were a smaller community? Because sometimes it does get hard to convince brands of your engagement when you don't have the numbers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like at the beginning, even now, some brands are more willing than others to give us codes, and we keep on asking some of the particular companies, but we're still getting knocked back. And it's not because of lack of engagement or lack of members, it's just because that's not the direction they want to go to, which is totally fair.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just not experienced with this.
Absolutely. Like with a lot of brands, we had to prove ourselves, and we could see that they were joining our group, and they were watching us, and they were making sure that their brand is happy to be associated with us, because it's obviously very important for their image.
When we started together in 2019, we had 7,000 members.
Yes.
Which was quite big at the time.
Yeah.
I think now with time there are several big Facebook groups around, but 7,000 at that time was big. But still, it wasn't easy, and we could see that the more members we had, the easier it was to get codes, the more brands wanted to collaborate. And it's the same on Instagram. We've gotten on Instagram since then, and I could really, really feel the shift when we crossed 30,000 members, followers, sorry. That's when we started getting noticed, and that's when many brands stopped expecting from us to work totally for free.
Yes.
For them, like others. Saying,
yes.
Hey, come have a cookie and shoot 3 reels about our baking.
Spend half a day working for us for nothing.
For a cookie. We'll give you a cookie.
Yeah.
We'll come to some of these stories maybe later. But I still want to know everything else that you're doing. I think we know there is a lot, but what is it?
Okay.
What is that?
So So after the codes, wasn't it?
We got a website.
Yes.
We were discussing if we should get an app or a website. And because a website is more easily accessible, you don't have to install anything. We decided to go with a website first. Mm. It took us 2 attempts. Because it wasn't easy, like, to combine all the content, all the information we wanted to get nice creatives. The first version looked really, really bad, so we abandoned that project.
Yeah.
And then we started over with someone new. We had a new partner, Karim, who was a friend of my husband, and he was very interested. He was also silent, a silent member, someone had been watching just like you and reading, and who thought it was very, very exciting and that there was lots of potential. Mm. We had some plans on the tech side at that time, which didn't work out. We didn't know that yet. But he came in and he motivated us to build a website from scratch with a big company abroad. And not to save money on that, like not to go the cheap.
Even stretching.
Yeah, exactly. Not to stretch the dirhams at all. But I must say, he was right. Mm. So looking back, it seemed like a big step for us. We were so tiny at the time.
Yeah.
Here in Dubai, people were telling us, hey, we can build your website for 5,000 dirhams.
Yeah.
So it seemed like a big, big step. But no, it definitely helped us getting more noticed, having a better website, having a different image, being more professional.
Of course, yeah.
And that website still exists. It's sum.ae, and that's where we have all our codes listed. You can look them up. There's a search function, the categories. It's a couponing website, mostly, but it's a very efficient one. Mm. I don't know if you've ever used couponing websites before. Mm. For me, they're a nightmare.
I have, yes, in the UK, and they are a nightmare.
Yeah, well, not just in the UK, in the UAE as well, there's a few.
In the UAE, I stick to some.
Oh, thank you. No, but it's exactly the same. It's like loads of offers. You go on the offer, you have so many codes, you have to click on something to make them appear, and then
sign
you try the code, sign
scratch.
Yeah, exactly. Sign up, scratch the thing, move the...
I know,
whatever.
And then in the end you get free shipping or just something really...
Yeah, or a code that doesn't work,
yes.
Or that has some like lots of terms and conditions, doesn't apply to your purchase, or they just tell you no code needed.
Exactly.
That's the one I hated
the
most.
That's...
No code needed. Like after you clicked on all these things, they'll tell you, oh, just look out for the offers on the website.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Or you have offers that were valid a year ago or for Mother's Day, whereas you're in December or what have you.
Exactly, and that's very sneaky. And,
well, most of them are like that, too.
Most of them are like that, and they actually want you to click on those on all those links because this is how they earn money, but they actually don't have a discount for you. And this is everything we didn't want to be.
Mm.
Because we wanted a website that works well, that is transparent, honest. If we don't have a code, we won't put it up there. And
perfect.
Like we don't have all these things like no code needed.
No.
We don't have pop-ups.
Pop-ups.
You don't have
pop-ups.
You guys don't have advertisements.
No, there's
no
advertising on there.
No
banners, nothing.
Yes.
So it's a very simple and transparent website just for codes. And we guarantee that if a code is there, it works. Maybe not for everything, but it's written in the terms and conditions, it doesn't.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that a lot of couponing websites don't give the terms and conditions. We find out the terms and conditions and we state them all there.
Yeah,
exactly. Like some codes don't work on specific brands.
Yes,
which is fine, but you just have to list it. So it's all listed in our description.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super easy to use, to the point you can see if the codes work on sale items.
Correct.
On bigger websites like Namshi, you write pretty clearly on most items, so the expectations are set from the start.
Yeah.
So did you have an example or did you have something that you were kind of able to take inspiration from? Because even abroad, I haven't seen anything like
we
this.
We just knew what we didn't like and eliminated all those things. So that was it.
I don't think I've seen a couponing website that's so transparent before.
No.
So
we never had an example. We just wanted to basically convert what we were doing on the Facebook group to a website, put the content there. And so we have two more things on the website, not just coupons. We also have a blog.
Yes.
And I had been publishing posts about mostly activities that I was doing with my kids at that time, and things on a budget or on news. Or one day, I remember I went to Paul Cafe,
yeah,
and they had an amazing offer. If you subscribe to their app, you would get some credit, and I managed to have breakfast for 5 dirhams.
Think I know about Paul because of your content.
So that doesn't always work. That was just a one-time thing. But still, I posted about it, and people were very happy to read about it. Mm-hmm. And same for the kids' activities and outings to Sharjah or whatever, like things that you can do when it's hot for very cheap. Mm-hmm. And we wanted a platform to keep trace of all this because it gets lost very quickly on Facebook. And that's why we created the blog, where you can read up on all these things, and there are also different categories. You can look up things to do or online shopping offers or whatever. So that was important to us. And the third thing is that we had been collaborating with a lot of local businesses, and we had been doing something called Small Business Monday.
Yeah.
And
is it different to Sunday Souk on the group?
Yes, it's different. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it was basically shout-outs to small businesses. We started that in 2019, and then we intensified it in 2020 with COVID. We helped a lot of businesses getting noticed. We posted our reviews about them, and that's why we wanted to give them a dedicated section on the website, which is called Shop Local, where we tell the story of the people behind the business, not just the business. And by the way, you were featuring
old
company.
Yes. I was going to say whether I was featured in the blog or the small business.
No, it was in the Shop Local section.
Shop Local.
That's something that we still want to do. We haven't had much time recently to work on that.
Of course.
But the Shop Local section is still on the website.
Yes.
And we are working on adding in.
So this is all under sum.ae, right?
This is all under sum.ae.
Any reason why you didn't decide to call it dirhamstretcher.com or something like that, dirhamstretcher.ae, and create a whole new brand, which I know also adds to work?
It's, well, dirhamstretcher is complicated. People sometimes don't know how to write it.
Right.
So there's a lot of typos.
Oh, simply just a logistical reason behind this.
Yeah,
oh,
we actually, we own
dirhamstretcher.ae. Right.
It redirects you to sum.ae.
Fine.
But we were looking for something simple that would actually be our new brand and summarize everything we've been doing.
Yeah.
So we came up with sum. It's the sum
perfect.
Of everything we're doing. So we kept adding features to a website. Like at some point, we were selling tickets. We still are. Because we noticed that so many people on the group were looking for tickets that were affordable.
Of course.
So that's a part that we've, that Susan was taking care of.
Trying.
This was the first kind of segue into doing different things from the traditional codes, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. I think so. We were getting a bit tired of codes. I mean, they're still very useful, but it was a bit boring just looking into codes all day. So we wanted to do something different. And also the code space has been invaded.
Really?
But yeah, with everyone. Oh. Literally every mom blogger has codes now.
Well, yes. I know what you're talking about.
So we just wanted to be different and do some other
things. We want to innovate a little bit more.
Innovate.
Do something that others aren't doing. So trying to be, just different.
Yeah.
Working on that.
Yeah, and through all of this, time and money must have been two factors that you would have had to kind of keep adjusting yourself to. We recently had a conversation on the podcast about how, like you were talking about, the website expense in the beginning was a big expense for you. So you almost have to get used to this new level that you need to start spending at, right? At the beginning, the 5,000 dirham website could have been a big investment. Whereas now you could be looking at 20 times that, 10 times that, whatever it was. So did you find, I mean, I love the amount of motivation you guys bring to an already pretty intensive task of looking after the community. So was that ever a factor, or you just kind of went with it and then you manage it after?
We took the risk, I'd say.
We took the risk,
It is big amounts. I mean, we were not used to it. We're still not used to it. It is scary, but...
It does get scary.
I guess it helps that we both didn't have a job before. It's not like we left a job to start this. We were not dependent on that revenue, although now it really helps. Like I help paying school fees for my kids
Amazing.
And all at home. So it's really, it is important, but we could survive without that karma, I guess.
Yeah.
So that
it definitely does help.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it could go either way. It could also add a lot of pressure to you doing this work for no remuneration. So it could go either way. And I think this is what we're trying to learn in terms of molding your mindset in the right way, because you'll know so many other moms who might have the same luxury, let's call it, but still stay in the very like limited mindset of, oh, but then if I do some work, it needs to give me money, which I think you didn't do in the beginning, which is why you were able to dedicate so much time to the community, building of the community that led to everything, right?
Yeah, I guess you have to understand how a small business works and that you need to start working and not expect an immediate income.
Yes,
maybe
very
an
much.
Income after 3 years.
Yes.
And we're seeing that with everything. I mean, we're kind of trying and testing. I mentioned the tickets, so that
yes.
that's something that was not successful.
So is this this is 2021, right? And
yeah.
was some.ae 2020?
Yes.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so with the tickets, what happened is that we were trying to resell them at a really, really low price, so basically making like almost no profit on them, just because we knew that our community wanted these tickets. That
yeah.
that they really wanted to pay less on them. And then we got some issues with the actual attractions who told us we were not allowed to sell below market price.
Yeah.
There's a lot more rules and regulations
yes.
than what we thought originally. And we poured a lot of time, a lot of money into this new venture.
Mm.
And,
yeah, because we had to adapt the website as well. So we had this whole thing built just for tickets.
Exactly.
That connected to the attractions websites or something, from what I remember, in some cases, right? Or you were able to see the availability, so there was some
integration.
Middle company.
Yeah.
Correct. There was some integration that we had to do between the companies and us. So it isn't as simple as we thought it was going to be.
I can imagine.
So that was... we're still working on it. Now that we know a whole lot more, we've learned a whole lot more with it. We're trying to see what we can do. So it is a work in progress, but
it is. We're still working on selling those tickets cheaper than the official websites.
Yeah.
And we might have found a way. I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
So hopefully that it's not completely off the table.
No.
But it's been frustrating.
I can imagine.
Putting so much work into it for being able, like, for being told that we were not allowed to do it. And we didn't want to make profit with it. We just wanted to give our community these deals.
Yeah, also, it was done in a way, I bought one set of tickets. So I remember from my experience that it wasn't very, you didn't have to sit on the system, or at least ideally you would have found a way to not sit on the phone and make sure the orders are coming in and then the orders are being placed and then redirect them back. So it has to be a little more automated, which is where a lot of the time and effort goes into building the system. So but this is small businesses for anyone who romanticizes the entrepreneurial hustle. It's a winding road to success, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
Yeah, so after tickets we got, I think, into
UQ.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
it was the next one.
So this is also the reason why our main company is not called Dream Stretcher, because we wanted to create some kind of holding company.
Great.
With the three partners, so Karim, Susan, and myself. And that is Sum. And then under Sum, you have the other things sitting.
Right.
So you have Dream Stretcher, and you also have UQO. So we wanted to... It all happened thanks to the Facebook group, Dream Stretcher.
Right.
So during COVID, we saw people asking for workout equipment that was affordable and good quality, and that got us thinking that maybe this would be a segment we'd like to get into.
Yeah, there was definitely a space in the market where it was either very cheap, poor quality, and it wasn't going to last you long, to the opposite side of the spectrum, to extremely expensive.
Exactly.
And the quality is better than the other, but it's still not amazing quality. So we kind of wanted to sit somewhere in between with the great quality, but make it affordable. So stretching those dirhams, making things value for money.
Yes.
So we kind of went into that, and that took us almost a year to organize everything before we actually launched. So just perfecting everything from the equipment to the colors to the branding, just...
The new website.
The website, just everything. It was just...
Yeah. I think I met you just after a photo shoot once, and even that, you know, you have to find the right models, and was
and the right photographer and the right locations. Yes. There was just so much.
It was a photo shoot that didn't go too well. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong. There have been a few, maybe. And all of this, again, coming back to stretching the dirhams or fantastic aspect of this podcast, all of this takes money. It all takes kind of like, if you're not bringing in money, then does that end up sometimes being a complicated conversation in families? How did you get to a point where you felt comfortable with making that decision?
Well, I think from my point of view, I've had a finance background, and I've always been like wanting to do entrepreneurial projects. So for me, like my husband, it was a no-brainer, and there was no way that he was going to say no. So
it's
like, this is what I'm going to do, and this is my plan, and there was no other option.
Yeah, perfect.
He knows I'm going to do this until I make it successful, so he doesn't question anything.
Amazing.
Luckily, he doesn't have we've got and both of our husbands, we've both got very, very supportive husbands, and they help us with so much in the background, whether that be shooting, whether that be picking up the kids, as simple as that, and, you know, giving us the time and effort, and they do so much behind the scenes for us.
For sure. Money is just one aspect.
Yeah, that's just one aspect, but they actually are very helpful in the background of the business as well. They will do whatever they need to do to be able to support us.
That's super
to
hear.
That's definitely one thing that we don't talk about enough. So
I think there's a lot of negativity around that as well, as well as bringing up kids. So it's nice to hear positive conversation around that. So then UQ was 2022, was it? Early 2022?
End of 2021, just before Christmas.
Yeah.
And
UQU, sorry, you were talking about finances. So the thought behind UQU was also, let's not put all the eggs into the same basket with Durham Stretcher. What if the codes dry up? What if everybody gets codes? This can't be our main income. We need to find something else.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because in one sense, I mean, codes can be easily shared. So that's good forward thinking from your side, right? I wouldn't have thought of it like that. I mean, now that you say it, it makes sense to diversify in time.
Of course, and also, I mean, the timing was right for getting into discount codes, but that was also because it was such a new thing back in 2019, 2020. As Susan said, lots of lots of companies didn't have their own e-commerce website at that time, so they were just building it, and then of course they wanted to attract people and encourage them to use their new platforms, so they were handing out codes. But after a while, those e-commerce websites were just established, and they didn't, maybe they wouldn't need us anymore, and actually that happened sometimes. And then we are notified, just one day we get an email, it's like, hey, by the way, your code is not valid anymore.
I remember this happened with H&M, correct me if I'm wrong.
It's and happened then, for a lot of brands. A lot of constantly. Brands. Every single week. They're on, they're off. And you're just juggling that. You know, we've got so many codes now that it just...
Which is why you're constantly posting updates as well, right?
Correct.
So there's changes happening constantly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you guys generally deal with the brands yourselves, or do you let the teams handle that now, or you keep it?
It totally depends on the brands.
Exactly. Some brands have got like an umbrella company that they deal with. You know, they've got a number of brands underneath them.
Right.
So not each and every company, no.
Time management is something I want to cover, but I'm going to get to it at the end.
Hope you're enjoying this conversation as much as we did. I'm going to have to cut this longer chat into two parts, so this is the end of the first part. Please tune in next week for the second part to finish off this amazing journey that we're on with the Dirham Stretcher powerhouse. See you then. So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
So with that, we bring this episode of Our Financial Adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fantastic Females.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.